to have had the experiences that I've had in sobriety, to just my willingness to stick my hand out and ask for somebody's name and number, you know? Like, all it takes is, like, that basic willingness just to try and, like, push yourself just even a little bit out of your comfort zone to, like, be like, I'm Spencer. That's it. That's all you gotta say, right? There's not, like, there's no backstory or anything, right? It's like, hey, I'm Spencer. That is it, you know? And, like, you could make a friend just by doing that, that can walk with you on this path for the rest of your sobriety, you know? And I'm a firm believer, I'm a firm believer in service. I'm a firm believer in all aspects of this program, right? The fellowship, the recovery, and the unity, you know? I'm a very firm believer in it. I believe that the most important service that I could ever do is at my home group as a greeter. You know, how else am I supposed to make the newcomer feel welcome? You know, and I was blown away when I got the email about doing this, dude. Like, this is incredible, right? Like, I got the email. I opened it up. I was on break from work, and I opened it up on my phone, and I was just what's happening, you know? And I think I said out loud, I was like, is this my life? You know, like, is this real life right now? You know, I'm being asked to speak at the 2015 International Convention of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know? Like, you know. And coming in here, I was pretty beaten up from alcohol, you know, like having had like a daily drinking habit, you know, it takes its, even on somebody who's 19 getting sober, right? Like, even at 19 being a daily drinker, it takes a toll on your spirit, on your body, on your mind. You know, I came in here with that spiritual malady and physical allergy, you know, and mental sickness and you guys, you know, you guys introduced me to a higher power, right? To God, you know, which, the longer that I stay sober, the more often I'm hit with the reality that God is everything or else he is nothing, right? And the periods that I try and like play God, are getting shorter and shorter, right? Because like, it's like, all right, dummy, you know, like, what are you doing? You know? And, it's really what this whole deal's about, right? Like, you know, you come in here, somebody takes your hand and walks you towards finding a power greater than yourself, you know? And like, I have the privilege now, to be able to do that with other men, you know. And my home group is a young people's group, so typically it's younger dudes, you know, that I'm able to bring through the book and walk with them, you know, side by side on this journey, you know. I think it's a privilege and an honor to be here, man. I leaned over to Jennifer, and I just go, what an honor, man. What an honor, you know, because like, I just, pretty cool, you know, pretty cool. I'm like trying to not cry right this second. I don't know. You guys ever like well up with tears and you're like, I shouldn't do that. Yeah, that's where I'm at. I only have 35 more seconds, and I'm just gonna, all I want you guys to know is like, if you haven't fallen in love with AA yet, stick around, stick your hand out, introduce yourself, and do what other people are doing, you know? Because that's what really, really got me plugged in here. And I feel at home in any AA meeting that I'm at, whether it's at the World Convention, or whether it's in Lake Worth, Florida, you know? So, I love you all, thank you. Thank you. Because that's kind of how I got introduced to AA. I got introduced to AA from a DUI. My mom's best friend, his name's John, he lives in Orlando. He's an amazing person. He literally dragged me by my arm at 18 years old into an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I think I was 19 at the time. That was November 17th of 2004. My sobriety date's in February. And when I went to that meeting, I just sat there with a hoodie. It was like summer. Or no, it was November, so it's not cold in Florida, by the way. So wearing a hoodie is like optional at all times of the year. You know, but you don't want to get to know me when I'm drinking. So, I sat in that meeting and I felt at home, man. You know, and I didn't really know how to pinpoint that. It was just something that was just a feeling to my core, you know, that like I am where I belong right now. And I sobbed. I just cried the entire meeting. I picked up a white chip, with no intentions of quitting drinking, by the way. I did it to please my mom and to let the courts know next time I see them that I went to an AA meeting. So like I'm okay now, you know? So February 1st, 2005, that was when I ended my drinking. I started my last drunk on January 3rd. Hold on. February 1st was the first day sober. I started my last drink on January 30th, ended it on the 31st. And then February 1st is my sobriety. It took me a year of being sober to figure that out. And I still screwed it up, you know? After I got out of a facility that I was in, I had a home group. It was a noon meeting, met Monday through Friday. Probably had like 3,000 years of sobriety combined in it or something, you know. And those guys taught me how to live a day at a time. And then shortly thereafter, I found a young people's meeting. And that young people's meeting, it's called Psychic Change Young People's Group. It's in Orlando. It's awesome. Still meets. And I found that young people's group, and I found people around my own age that like to have fun, right? So like, they taught me how to live one day at a time, but have fun living a day at a time, you know? In that time, I was able to, find a sponsor that was willing to bring me through the book. You know, I'm not gonna, like, I believe that coming to AA meetings is extremely important and, finding a home group. But what I can tell you is that the work that I did through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous is what changed my life. And so I found these group of young people, man, and I started to make friends. A friend of mine, she says that you gotta go into this AA thing and you gotta find a way to go through it with a posse, man. You know, like you can't do it alone in here. You gotta find a posse, you know, and I found mine. And it was in young people in AA, you know. And I'm still involved, right? Like, you know, 10 plus years sober, I'm the co-chair of the 57th host committee for Iggy Pop. Young people in AA breathe life into me. You know? And I don't say that, like I don't say young people in AA as being any different than AA. It's all AA, right? There's the same 12 steps. You know, we still have the same meetings, right? We talk about a solution to alcoholism, you know? It's incredible, man. And like, I really owe my life to this program and the ability. That's not the reason I'm an alcoholic. The reason I'm an alcoholic is because once I pick up a drink, I can't control the amount that I drink. And I love the effect that's produced by it, you know? No matter what the background is, you know, like from, and I could just tell my own story, right? Whatever my background is, you know, those circumstances, they may have, you know, depending on my feeling and mood at the time, they may have escalated my drinking at certain times, but they're not the reason I'm an alcoholic. The reason I'm an alcoholic is because I have an allergy to alcohol, that once I start drinking, I cannot stop. You know, it took me I only drank for 5 years, guys, so it didn't take me like too long to figure out that like, this is not, this isn't cool, you know? Like, you're really doing some damage here. So I picked up my first drink at the age of 14. And I relate to both of you guys so much, man. You know, like Zach, I drank straight out of the bottle the first time I drank. However, it wasn't to impress. It was out of boredom. And I was just kind of curious. And I was in my house with a buddy of mine. And I wasn't trying to impress him. I grabbed the bottle of old granddad bourbon out of the thing and just kind of tipped it back for a couple seconds. And then looked at my friend Tony. And he goes, what are you doing, man? You know? And this is at 14, right? And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know, man. Why not? You know? It's like a Sunday at like, you know, 11:30 in the morning. While like, my mom's at her AA meeting and my grandparents are at church. You know? So, anyways, you know, that feeling that I got when I picked up that first drink, you know, is not uncommon to what you hear a lot in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. Although I felt very different when I was growing up and up until the point that I got into Alcoholics Anonymous and got to know a few of you. And got under some good sponsorship. The feeling that I got when I picked up that first drink, the warmth that went down my throat, into my chest, out to my fingertips, that's the same. You know? That's the same. And that's something that was so awesome. You know? Like, it was so awesome right then. You know? I love alcohol, man, you know? I don't drink it, you know, but, you know, if I were to, I'd drink a lot of it. And that's why I'm here. So, I don't really want to spend too much time in my story of drinking, because I really believe that what happens once we walk in the doors here is what matters most, you know? The circumstances that happen leading up to us finding Alcoholics Anonymous are circumstances, and they mean a lot to us, you know? But we're able to right the ship in here, you know? We're able to change lives in here. Not only ours, but other people's, you know? You know, I only drank for 5 years. It started out as I was 14, you know, so it was like, I wasn't like driving myself to the liquor store, right? Like, it was whenever I could, you know. And whenever I could was as much as I could as well. Pretty much from the very beginning. Towards the end of my drinking, it wasn't every day thing. It was an every 3 hours thing, you know, like it was just something that was, I was more or less, inebriated almost all the time at the end of my drinking, you know, and I couldn't keep myself from behind the wheel of a car or out of jail either. So if you guys come in here for a DUI, right? Like, that's cool, man. You know, like, Just listen. Hey guys. My name's Spencer Wood. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is the Lake Worth Young People's Meeting. It meets in Lake Worth, Florida, which is about an hour north of Miami, on Tuesday nights at 8:30. If you're ever in the West Palm Beach area and you want to check out an amazing meeting, please come and see us. We'd love to see you there. I also feel at home in the business meetings of the 57th Host Committee for ICKYPA, which is the International Conference of Young People in AA. The reason that I say that is because I am on the host committee. It's going to be in Miami this year, and it takes a lot of time and energy to put some planning into it, and means a lot to a lot of people and helps change lives. So, but anyways, so I was born in Orlando, Florida. I was born to a single mother. She's sitting right here. She's 26 years sober in this program. And, I didn't mention my sobriety date. It's February 1st of 2005. And it's awesome, man. Like, AA is amazing, you know? It's incredible. But I didn't know that for a long time. Like, I would run around at meetings as, like, a little kid and stuff. We didn't have cell phones when I was that young. So, like, there was coloring books and such, you know. And but anyways, you know, I would run around in meetings when I was real young. Even like into you know, my early teens and like when I was drinking, I really didn't know. Even though my mom went to her home group every Sunday morning, while I went with my grandparents to church, I didn't really know what AA was about. I didn't know that there were like 12 steps. I didn't know, like, you know. I thought AA was a place that people, you know, kind of came and complained about their problems, and that you guys would, you know, like, that you guys would either teach me how to control my drinking, or there was a bunch of homeless people here. And so, you know, when I got here, I was taught differently. But anyways, I was born and raised in Orlando, Florida. I spent my entire life there up until a little over 4 years ago, where I moved down to the West Palm Beach area. I was raised by a single mother. I've never met my father. He decided that he was going to leave when he found out that there was a baby on the way. So, which is cool, man. Like, you know, like, now it's cool to me, you know, like, for forever it was like, I hate that guy, you know, like, so from a very young age, I felt very different, right? Like, you know, where, on the little league field, you know, like playing catch, right? I'm playing catch with my mom. My mom's not good at sports at all, you know, like, very uncoordinated, you know, and other people were playing catch with their dads. And, like, you know, I just want to throw a shout out to any single mothers that play both roles. It's amazing. Especially if you're a member of this program, you know, because there's some personal house cleaning and trust in God and stuff that goes into it that makes it probably, you know, maybe easier or more difficult, depending on how you look at it. So, so I grew up feeling a little bit different, right? Like, I felt different. I felt, you know, like, why was, you know, felt a little bit shafted, you know? Like, I felt like, you know, what's going on, you know? Like, I got the short end of the stick type of deal, you know? Why don't I have a dad, you know? And I asked myself that question and it tore me apart, you know? And I say that, right? Like, I say that, like, having felt different from a very young age.
Jennifer D. from New York. And our last speaker is from Florida. Please welcome Spencer W.
Now, as I close it out, I found out why I was here. And it wasn't until 3 in the morning. And I love God, and I'll finish with this. Because I thought maybe somebody with the same stuff that I had might be there. Whether it's cross-dressing or this or that or whoever you are, gay, straight, bi, whatever. AA, we welcome everybody. Now think about that at your groups. Everybody. I was told to stand at the door and shake hands, and my sponsor told me if there's somebody in a meeting you don't know them, go up to them and say who you are. That's why I lost my voice. I've been talking to 50,000 people and my hand is killing me. But it's true. It was amazing. But I went down to, there we go. I went downstairs to the bench, and there was a young man who's kind of new in the program sitting next to me. And he started to tell me a little story. And he turned out to be a young man that was literally struggling and hoping when he came to the convention, he told me that he's a trans man. Where is the hand of God in that? And then after he shared, then I told him my story and why I was here. And he was in the same hotel as me, same floor. By the way, I'm not lying, folks. I don't have witnesses, but I'm sure he's in this audience. Trust God. Clean house. Help others. Thank you very, very much. Think I'm different? No, I never was. Because first and foremost, remember, I'm just a bozo getting on the truck like the rest of you. I'm a drunk. And what a ride it's been, you know? I mean, come on. The woman from, you know, I get this call of like, have I got a topic for you? I am so blessed. So blessed. So I thought, you know, and let's talk about God or higher power. Because the reason that I'm here today was, as it's not about me at all. Well, I should have been speaking in the dome, but that's another issue. What it is about was the person who could be in these rooms like me, whether you have that stuff or other stuff that's struggling, the newcomer. Because when I came in, I was told, you're the most important person sitting in your seat. Right? At a meeting where they used to say, you're welcome here, please stay. And this came from a person who helped thousands. Thousands. And this person used to have cards laminated that I still have with an 800 number, because back then they used to tell you to carry a lot of quarters. That's right, I'm getting old in this program. But I'm sure looking better as the time goes by. Which, by the way, I always suggest this one too, is, you know, they always say that you need to change the person you bring into the rooms. But please, don't any of you take it like what I'm talking about. Okay. Because to tell you the truth, I wouldn't wish my stuff on any of you. You know, and I lost everything, but I never lost God and you. You know, I had family walk away. I lost job. I had life stuff, you know, the life stuff that's hard, you know. But I always kept my gratitude. I waited 12 years that AA taught me not to close the doors, that my nephews I never saw when they were babies, or I was with my family at Christmas time. But I certainly had a place to go on holidays with you guys. And then because I never closed the door after 12 years, 2 years ago, Jennifer spent the first Christmas since Jennifer popped up with her family and her two nephews. Is that guaranteed to happen? No. But we never close the door and give up hope. And we don't drink and we go to meetings. But we just don't drink and go to meetings. We have a requirement to stay sober and help others. Requirement. I love that. That word means, it sounds like it's a must. And it's called service. And no matter what aspect, you can do it. As I wind this down, the part I love is I didn't plan any of it, and I love being spontaneous, you know. It's so awesome. You know, you guys are so awesome. This program is so awesome. I'm awesome. My panel and chair people are awesome. And if you're new and you don't know it and you think you're different, keep coming. You're awesome. My sponsor, God rest him, Paul Riley, said you didn't drink today. And if that's the way it is for every one of you in this room, we're all winners, babies. Too much of it. And then I did what I do in AA. I make a lot of meetings and I show up. And I get active and I do service. And I kept showing up. But 10 years into my recovery, the do you think you're different part and having to deal with stuff that the stuff we have that if we don't deal with it even in recovery, it could take us out stuff. Being true to ourselves stuff. And that if we want to truly get to being the theme, the other thing that's killing me about this convention for me is the theme. The happy, joyous, and free. Because God knows I am there right now. Because of my stuff that's no longer stuff. So I'm driving here and I remember the last time I was here in Atlanta. And it was 1999. And I was on my way to a convention, a non-AA convention, because AA, when I hit my knees for a second time in sobriety and crashed and wanted to die but not drink, because I couldn't deal with living anymore, because I felt different. Can you turn that off? No. So what happened was this convention, and because of AA and how you taught me to get help right away and I can be a sponge, the name of the convention, you're going to love this, it was called the Southern Comfort Convention. It's got my name written all over it. I'm going to the Southern Comfort Convention in Atlanta. Now, I had forgotten all about this because I gave this to God, because this whole talk for me was not about me today. And actually what it was about was 3 o'clock in the morning, there was somebody that had the same stuff as I did. that I met on the bench at 3 o'clock last night outside my apartment. Outside the hotel, my apartment, this guy. And he was put right in my life. And he was the one that I was to touch today. And if I'm lucky to help one other in this crowd, then I'm way ahead of the game. Way ahead of the game. This convention was for transgendered people. People that might be pulling a Caitlyn Jenner. That's not me, one of those people. Yes, it is. And I struggled and thought I was different. And as I came over, I was like, oh my God. Because I went on to this huge convention and started working on these issues because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And Alcoholics Anonymous led me to these things and gave me hope that it wasn't different. And then I got help. I shared, and other people that have the struggles that I do. And when I came to Atlanta as my old self, right, once I left Atlanta, I never turned back. I went as my old self on the plane here, and when I got on the plane coming back, you're looking at this hot mama, Jennifer. Thank you very much, because let me tell you, that is not how I felt, and I need you guys still, because I was just a turd before I came in, and you guys said you'd love me until you could love yourself, but those 10 years in that sobriety that I just didn't drink and trusted you guys, I can only look in the mirror and like me. Oh my God, do I look in the mirror today and love the person that I see? Because it's something I dreamed about my whole life. You know, it's a program of honesty. Was it easy for me to come here today instead of whatever and, like, expose myself to all of you? Myself, and then just turning it over to him. And my higher power has an awesome sense of humor. I spent most of my day with you guys. I only went to the Dome meeting last night. That was the only one. Which, by the way, I don't know why, you know, and with this little part of ego in my head, and I'm going to talk with GSO, why did I not get asked to speak in the Dome my first meeting? You know? And if anyone has an answer for that. Well, I do. Because when I got called, because of a phone call I made to GSO, because of a meeting that I wanted to have impromptu here at this convention, I got a call back from someone after I shared my story with the person on the phone, which is the story that I'm going to share with you, which is different than the story a little bit that I've been 100% honest in all of this AA and only usually with my sponsor and close people. Was they said, Jennifer, call me back right away. You must call me back. Are you able to, there's an opening on a panel, and the topic is, do you think you're different? And would you be interested in speaking at the International Convention? Oh, no, not at all. Are you kidding me? But how many are going to be in the room, in which room? Because do you think you're different? Well, let's talk about that. You know, everybody's got their stuff. Zach kind of touched on it. We all have stuff, right? You got your stuff. He's got stuff. You got stuff. We all have a lot of stuff when we came in. And a lot of that stuff makes us think we're different. But we're talking about this first and foremost. Zach mentioned it. I am an alcoholic. That's why I come here, because I'm powerless. And I need to remember the people who these steps were sketched into their lives, who are no longer with me today. And I want to remember my first sponsor, because he saved my life by being an example, a power of example. All right, my experience, I drank a lot and I couldn't stop. Done. What was it about? M-O-R-E. More. What do you got? Jen, here's three of these. Just take two of them. Just make sure you don't take all three. Okay? And don't drink anything with it. Okay, I want five, and I'm on my way to the liquor store to get some alcohol. I should not be here tonight. I should be dead. But there were other plans, just like for everyone in this room, and I had absolutely nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. And I did nothing. I was mandated in a treatment, and I didn't even think I had a problem. I always like to mention that. It was in the summer of 1988. And then just to move ahead, thank God he gave me those 3 minutes. To move a little bit ahead. Oh, I forgot to mention last night, talking to all of you guys and what God's plan was and how long I was going to talk today, because I was just talking to alcoholics from all over the world, all over, because I'm a chatterbox. This morning I woke up, I couldn't talk. I was like, thank you, God, it's going to be a short talk, because my voice is almost gone. I love my higher power, you know. I'm trying to get to the really hard part. The gut level sharing part. Right, Kathy? Yeah. The stuff that makes you think you're different. Part. I had a God moment on the way into Atlanta that I'd forgotten about. You see, I could talk about, yes, I wanted to mention I have a home group, I have a sponsor, I have a commitment. And I listened when I came into AA, and I shared some stuff one-on-one that wasn't easy for me. And when I did my fourth step, though, I was like, we're not going to talk about it. Good morning. My name is Jennifer, and guess what? I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. And the numbers are in. I did it last night on the Do You Think You're Different? That there were 56,000 people here or something like that. And including me, I found 500, including me, that hold to this rule that are different out of the 56,000. And of course, me running late and thinking that I might be different running in here. But here's, I could do this in about 2 minutes and put it all together in one thing. And just saying that this alcoholic is just another bozo on the bus. I heard that many years ago. Now let's talk. I said who I was. And more importantly, I want to take a moment. My sobriety date, and God willing, on July 27th of this month, I will have 27 years back-to-back of continued sobriety. Thank you. After 27 years, I still love that, because I certainly didn't feel like I deserved any kind of applause before I came in and when I came in, because of how different and how I felt inside. I have my Kleenex. There's my timer. I want to thank Zach for the extra 3 minutes. Thank you, Zach. I'm going to need it. Next, I just want to mention to anyone here who is new to put your seatbelts on and enjoy the ride if you're here. And if you're struggling and you're thinking about picking up a drink, you got about 400 people in this room that are ready, willing, and able to help you. It's pretty powerful. And if the 400 in here aren't enough, there's another, 55,500 and something right out the doors. Now, I'm trying to avoid my topic and me, because I certainly did think that I was very different. And I come here to you today in telling a story that is a story that I've only recently kind of changed a little bit in AA as I let my higher power direct me in where he wants me. Now, as I thought about putting the big speech together, because as I have to tell you, one of my greatest honors in Alcoholics Anonymous is just speaking, or speaking at a first anniversary. Now, if we talk about who'd have thunk that this garbage head alcoholic who couldn't stop drinking for 30 seconds would be at their first international convention of AA and speaking too. Can you make this stuff up? Can't. It's the same thing I was told when I came in. What a gift. This is a little bit of the top for me. But I'm still another bozo on the truck. And I still need you guys as much as I did when I first came in. And I hope I will always, one day at a time, be in that situation. So let's just get into the why I am the only one on this panel that is actually thinking I'm different. Oh, of course, that's only in my own head. Yeah. Thank God for AA. And I thank my God in preparing me for this as I thought about preparing.
That was awesome. Yeah, was that nuts last night? Oh my gosh, huh? Wow. Our second speaker, I absolutely know nothing about because she just walked in. So. help me welcome Jennifer.
And tell them how to do it and, you know, all that stuff. Which thankfully we have traditions that suggest that we don't do that. So it's really neat to be a part of a home group, you know, to be a part of a district, to be a part of an area, and then to be a part of this. I mean, all these countries coming together, that flag ceremony, again, you know, seeing people from around the world, and yet why are we here? You know, we're just here because we're alcoholic. You know, I earned this spot by the same misery that other people had to go through. You know, it's the only place that accolade doesn't matter, but the pain and suffering does. And that's what got me here. You know, I didn't come here for a vacation or anything like that. I was in treatment with people that thought it was a vacation, the summer camp. And, you know, that's... I came here because it was miserable. You know, and I could not live the way I was living anymore. And you people welcome me in, you know, and you just grab me by the arm. And so many people have said, get in the car and come along. And I have, you know, and what do I run into? More drunks just like me, you know, everywhere I go. Even if I'm trying to be different, someone will set me right back and, oh, you've done that. Okay. All right. Well, there goes that. Now, you know, I love the guy last night, you know, his three excuses, and that boils down to just this, you know, I can find as many ways as I want to be different, but it's always going to come back to, nope, nice try, but, you know, we're all the same here, and or we're all here for the same reason. And, you know, it's, again, just a wonderful thing. I'm going to keep babbling here. I've got 3 minutes, but I think I'm going to wrap it up and just say thank you all, and I'll pass. Story. Identifying is huge. The first thing I was told was to read Bill's story and see where I could find myself in it. And amazingly, there I was, very much like Bill. And Bill's alcoholic, so let's draw the logical conclusion, I guess, and based on my experience. And so identifying with the new people that come in the room, and Bill did a writing in the grapevine, and I read it in the language of the heart, and it's he talked about when the crowd started coming in younger, and how it was so easy to, you know, for some of the older people to say, you know, we're not like that guy, and, you know, this rift began, you know. And Bill talks about that identifying and how we are similar, you know, and how important that is, you know, that I can't I can't afford to be different than you guys today, you know, because anything, even, you know, we look at our 12th tradition, you know, principles before personalities. You know, if I think I'm above the principles and I'm different than you and I don't have to follow them the same, I'm going to go off on a path that my sponsor's probably going to slap me upside the head to correct. And that's just how I am, you know, constantly going back and forth on that beam and getting corrected, you know, and that's important today. Finding the people and finding and identifying with you guys is huge. And I mean, being here is something incredibly special. I haven't found one person that I couldn't go up to and just say, hi, I'm Zach. And, where are you from? And go from there, you know, and it's been absolutely unbelievable, that we're all united in this one thing. I heard someone say, you know, just looking at the crowd and yeah, we're all in it together, you know, and that's something really incredible, something I've never had in my life. You know, and how special it is today. So, you know, and I know especially how I came in, and when I talk with a newcomer that, you know, they need to feel a part of somehow. And it's not up to me to get them there, but just to show them, you know, my experience, tell them my experience. And if they relate to that, great. You know, and if they don't, and I hear their story, maybe I can direct them to someone who they can relate to, and where they can feel and be a part of something that I've come to enjoy and love today. You know, and the, even looking at, you know, as a group and the traditions that we have, the unity, you know, and that's something so important to me today. My home group, you know, is the first home group I've had. I've been there about a year. I kind of floated around for 3 years and, you know, I just went to meetings and, I went to a lot of meetings and met a lot of people, but to have a home group has been something really special. You know, very involved in service and everything like that. And, you know, service work has been another way where I can get out and meet people that are just like me, you know, that are just trying to give back to this thing that we love and, you know, be a part of. I think that's the biggest thing. My head is constantly telling me how different I am, you know, top of the heap, bottom of the heap thing. And my head's constantly telling me that I'm different, that I'm judging, I'm being judged back and forth constantly. And, you know, again, the corrections of that are coming right back to the unity and what we're all here for. You know, it doesn't matter any bit where I came from, what I've done, anything like that, that I'm here because I'm an alcoholic. And that's so big to me that I'm just here because I'm an alcoholic. You know, I'm not special. I'm not worse than. I'm no different. And even though we do have different, you know, we live in different places, we do different things, we have different hobbies, all this stuff, it all keeps coming back down to that unifying thing that I'm alcoholic and that I desperately need you people and God to stay alive. And, it's been an absolute privilege being part of AA. It's been the only good life I could have ever imagined. So again, back to, you know, the home group, and that's another place too where it's easy when you get a bunch of drunks together and start, you know, figuring out what this group should do or what we should be like and everything like that. And everyone's got an opinion, and, you know, so we do a lot of talking back and forth, and, You know, I think the greatest thing our home group has done is that, you know, everything boils down to, you know, how can we carry this message to the man who still suffers? You know, and again, we come down to one thing, that we're alcoholic, and how do we carry this message to the next guy? And that's, that keeps me from trying to be different from, oh, we gotta have the best home group. You know, we gotta have the most on the tradition home group. And, you know, we should really go to other Crite. But they welcomed me in, and they took me in, and, I started to hear a little bit about what alcoholism was and what AA was all about. Now, it took me another year to sober up, and that really is what brings me to a topic here is, you know, I spent that whole year not really drawing much of a sober breath and going to AA meetings and, you know, leaving for a while and coming back. And, you know, they all knew exactly what I was up to, but I thought I was getting away with it. And that's no original story there. It took me that year. And really the biggest thing was I could just, you know, I could pick out everything that these guys had done and these women had done that I hadn't. And I could pick out everything that they were that I wasn't. And that was a huge barrier to recovery. That was, you know, the biggest thing here is being able to relate and identify with each other. And I couldn't do that. You know, I hadn't hit that hopeless point. And in 2011, I did hit that hopeless point. Another bender, another hospitalization. And I remember sitting in that hospital bed just completely defeated. I left that hospital and went and got drunk immediately on my way to treatment. You know, my mom let me go up to my apartment alone to get clothes and everything. And I downed a bottle of wine real quick and got in the car. So, getting to treatment, you know, I was just defeated. I remember my first meeting in there, and this is where things kind of broke wide open. I was sitting in a meeting. There was a lot of people. Biggest meeting I had ever been to. I didn't know that many drunks got together in one place, and now I'm here, and that's really something else. So, how things have changed, huh? So I got into this meeting, and I started hearing these guys that were, you know, they were 10, 15, 20 years my senior and sober, and they told their stories. It was a first step meeting of sorts, and you know, I remember the distinct thought of, you know, my best outlook here is dying. My worst outlook here is 10, 15, 20 years more of this misery. And that was the story these guys were telling me. And I finally could say, yeah, I'm like him. You know, I'm like that person. I felt that way. I thought that way. I've done that. You know, the stories of the exact circumstances became much more trivial in that respect, to where it was just, you know, how the feelings and the connection were there. And I hit a point where, you know, that hopelessness set on me very heavily. And I walked away from that meeting in tears. And I grabbed some guys and I'm like, I was very against God. I couldn't read up to the third step because it said God. And I'm like, nope, done. Not want nothing to do with that. And I'm like, I told these guys, I'm like, you know, I need this spiritual thing, whatever it is. And they grabbed my hands and they said, you know, you have it in this group right here. And I believed them. Shortly after that, even though I had that group and these people that were like me, I knew it just wasn't quite enough, I guess, so to speak. And I went back to my room and I asked God for help for the first time in my life. And that weight was lifted from me. I had an experience of just feeling at ease. Just, you know, that feeling that I was chasing in alcohol, I had it, you know, and I had my solution. And it was a commitment to this program and to do the 12 steps. And since then, it's been absolutely unbelievable. You know, the do you think you're different? I don't know if I'd be alcoholic if I didn't have that feeling and didn't have that coming in here and saying, no, you know, I'm not like this guy's a drunk. I actually had a friend that was my older brother's buddy that I grew up with. And, you know, I could always say that guy's an alcoholic. You know, that was easy. I could tell that. And I actually ran into him in the rooms, and we have close to the same sobriety date. His is actually today, I believe. But it was one of those things where I could find someone that was alcoholic, so I'm not, you know, and that was something that kept a barrier between me and you guys. And, you know, identifying with each other is so huge. You know, when I sit down with a newcomer and I'm talking to him and telling him, "Hi, everybody, I'm Zach, and I'm an alcoholic." It's good to be here, and it's definitely good to be sober, and that is by the grace of God in AA. My sobriety date is April 30th of 2011, and my home group is a new freedom group in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Thank you. Not that any of you have heard of Fond du Lac before. A couple of the guys I know, at least. Oh, good. A real eager one up front. All right. So, you know, the topic here being, do you think you're different? And, of course, there was a time where absolutely, you know, my answer was yes to that. And just to tell you a little bit about my background and kind of go from there into what it's like today, I definitely, you know, growing up having those real feelings of separation, you know, and that was a real gnawing inside feeling of different than, of apart from, you know, and that really built over time until, of course, that first drink that I had was at 16 years old. And I remember very well that first drink, and it was straight from a bottle of booze. I didn't start with any sips. I didn't start with a nice mixed drink. It was just right out of the bottle. And I wanted to impress, and I wanted to, you know, show up the older guys that I was drinking with. So I forgot my water. As my mouth dries up here, and I can't talk anymore. So that was my first drink, and, you know, I remember that it wasn't just an effect that I had. I had an absolute experience from that first drink that just washed away everything that made me feel different and apart from everyone, and immediately I felt like I fit in, like I, you know, was part of the crowd and was myself for the first time in my entire life, and alcohol became my solution to all that, and I went after that with everything I had, and it got real bad real quick. There were times in high school and everything especially where I was kind of torn between, you know, following the crowd and keeping up with what everyone was doing and saying, no, you know, I want to be different from them. And, you know, so I've got this inside feeling of being apart from. And then I didn't want to conform to my friends, and yet I wanted to fit in. And it was very much a battle in that way. And alcohol really helped blend that all together. Of course, then eventually it turned on me and things got real bad. My drinking progressed, my alcoholism progressed very quickly. By the time I was 19 and moved out of my parents' house, I was drinking right with the athletic crowd that I was with, and it became 4 or 5 nights out of the week. School was very much secondary. You know, I was real different there. I was not... not there for academics, you know. It soon became I was there for drinking, and I made that my major and forgot about everything else. And it got me pretty much ended up leaving that school and blaming it on the school and everyone there. You know, I got to skip town because these guys are a real bad influence on me, and I just got to leave. So by the time I was about 22 years old, I was ending up in detox. I was, you know, all my priorities had switched, and I just was nothing like the path my brothers were on or my friends or anything like that. And I was drifting away from all these people again. And alcohol was no longer taking away those feelings of separateness. They were no longer taking away that fear and everything. I forgot to tap it, didn't I? Oh, there it is. Watching my time. So by the time I was in my 20s, it was, you know, it was really going downhill. I came into the rooms of AA when I was 24 years old, and the only thing I remember a few things about my first meeting. The first thing being I walked up to the church door, pulled the handle, and it was locked, and I said, all right, I gave it a shot, right? And it's time to go home. That wasn't the case. This guy, I remember, Michael, came around the corner with a big smile on his face. And I'm feeling miserable. And here comes this guy smiling and sticks his hand out and says, "You going to an AA meeting?" And I'm like, "You don't say that out loud, do you?" You know, like, grabs me and brings me into the church. And, you know, I walk into a room of all these people chatting and laughing and loud. And, you know, of course, once again, I'm like, I don't belong here. You know, these people are happy. I'm miserable. This is